coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
Oh, that was weird. What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. It has been over a week since the last time we actually podcast. I think it was the prior Tuesday before Labor Day, so we really need to get back in here to talk about some football, because obviously we have football season, guys. It's week one, Thursday night football, first game of the year, Bills versus Rams. It's going to be a clash of two titans, and I'm looking forward to it. Coach Sean's not here with us today. He's got a wedding to go to, so he's not making it on the show. But we did get Coach Gibbs back. I reeled him back in, and we got Coach Gibbs back in here. What's going on, brother?
Ain't much, brother. Ready for these starts and sits and the intro to our fantasy season with Thursday night football.
Absolutely. Oh, your lineup set?
No. So we gotta get on this.
Yes, we do. And we do have a guest on today's show, guys, filling in for John. Bill, what is going on, my friend? How are you today?
Yeah, all good, man. All good. Excited for the season to finally start. Feels like it's been a long time coming.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we get started, since you're new to our show here, why don't you just let kind of know what our listeners, who you are, you know, who your favorite team is and whatnot.
So as you can see, I'm Bill Mustafa, big Buffalo Bills fan. I'm here, there, and everywhere. I do some writing for FBA, Football Betting Advice. I do some writing for Fantasy and Frames, Rogue Bets. So you can find me all over doing different bits and pieces, whether it be fantasy or NFL betting stuff.
Love it, love it. Awesome. So we're glad to have you on the show today. It's going to be a fun episode, guys. So like I said, we're doing our starts and sits, which are really like our sleepers and busts the way we do it here at the Fantasy Coaches. So let's get started with some fantasy news, because there is some news we got to talk about, especially for those first week one deciding factors. So here we go. All right, guys. So early on fantasy news here, Michael Gallup, Van Jefferson out week one. They're already been stated early on that they're not playing in the first week matchup. Van Jefferson, actually, I heard that it could be multi-week. Michael Gallup, I heard today that, you know, is looking pretty good. But, yeah, they're both out week one, so please make sure you get them out of your lineups if they happen to be in them. This one's pretty big here with Zach Wilson. If we all know, Zach Wilson had an injury early on in preseason, and we thought maybe he could be back for week one. But it's official. Joe Flacco is starting this Sunday here. And no Zach Wilson until possibly at least week four. How do you guys feel about the Jets offense with Joe Flacco for the next 3 weeks against the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns? Are they startable assets there in New York still?
I mean, I think you can still, you know, I think Elijah Moore, you're going to start him if he's one of your wide receivers. Breece Hall as well. I think it's not going to be long for him to. No, I know he's not listed as the RB1, but that's not going to take long for him to take over from Michael Carr. I don't see if there's much of a drop-off between Joe Flacco and Zach Wilson, personally. I think the offense might be even a little bit better, a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like consistent with Flacco under center than Zach Wilson's you know, limited boom and huge bust plays that we see, or that we saw last season at least.
And for me, I love Moore. We saw last year with Moore and Flacco, he kind of like started that stretch run of the season where he was just awesome and he got hurt. But I think Moore's going to be an interesting piece. I do agree with you. Maybe Breece Hall gets a little bit of a boost early on, because like I noticed Joe Flacco was pounding the ball to the running backs like Ty Johnson last year, for instance. So maybe you have some calls for relief, but like for the first 4 weeks, it's just Moore and everyone else is kind of bench fodder.
Yeah, you guys put it there to the point there. I mean, yes, Elijah Moore makes sense. He had that one game. It was like 140 yards and a touchdown against Miami last year with Joe Flacco. I think Michael Carter could end up being a little bit more valuable than we might have expected, just because we know Joe Flacco is not a very mobile quarterback at this point of his career, and he might be willing to dump the ball off more if Michael Carter is obviously playing as much or less that we might think. So he could end up having a pretty good game. I know there was one game where he had 6 targets in that game, although he was a starter, but he could still be involved in that passing game, which I believe most of us might believe is his role this coming season. So he's another one. Breece Hall is definitely still good, but Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up consistent fantasy production. They're probably not on many people's rosters at the start of the season, but we'll see. It's definitely going to be interesting. Well, thankfully, Joe Flacco has played all 3 of these teams at some point in his career. So it's funny. He's just really just playing them right over again besides the Ravens. So hopefully Zach Wilson is back sooner than we hope. So it is what it is for now. But he is not on like the pump or anything, so he could be back sooner, but we'll have to wait and see. Nextly, J.K. Dobbins and Chris Godwin, both guys coming off major injuries this past season here. Both questionable for Week 1. I mean, Dobbins keeps saying he's good to go, but, you know, we're hearing different things from, you know, from the players, from what we've seen on video. And Chris Godwin, apparently, I just read like a couple minutes ago that it was basically going to be a game time decision. So obviously that's I think Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken here. What's your guys' comfort level starting either one of these guys over this weekend here?
I mean, Dobbins has got such a good matchup. You know, if he was healthy, he's a straight start, you know, against the Jets. But I like you say, the reports coming out of camp, I know he says that he feels fine and he's ready to go, but it just doesn't look like he is, you know. Well, the team don't have any comfort in the fact that he can be a 3-down bell cow for Week 1. So even if he's fit and available, you have to wonder how much of the ball he's actually going to see. You know, what's his snap count going to be? I think both guys, if I've got options, they're both guys I'm leaving on the bench for Week 1.
I'm not comfortable at all. Like, I drafted a lot of Godwin shares this redraft season, and then I took it to dip in the discount, but like, I don't think I could kind of just put up my chips in, especially given the fact, like, if he ends up being out for the game, think about your receiving options. Like, everyone and their mother has Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. You're going to be ended up starting KJ Hamler, and no one wants to start the Seattle Seahawks third receiver for the Monday Night Football game. So get your priorities straight, set your lineups, and even if you get 60% Chris Godwin, like, I still think the snap shares and snap counts are going to be low, especially given the fact that both teams signed auxiliary pieces. Like, they picked up Kenyon Drake, Mike Davis, and then you got Julio Jones and Russell Gage. So they don't really need to press these guys in this beginning stretch of the season, especially if they have playoff aspirations.
Yeah, you guys put it in a really nice way there. And honestly, definitely not comfortable starting either one of those. If you guys could go a different direction for Week 1, I would take that direction, especially because Chris Godwin, especially if you don't have a good replacement option for Sunday Night Football and you wasted your bench on these 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games, not starting one of those guys, you're going to put yourself in a bad first week, and you really want to start off, especially fantasy, early on strong if you can. So sit these guys, let them heal up for another week or two, whatever it may take. Definitely not comfortable with these guys overall. And then one more I forgot to put on here. George Kittle is dealing with a pretty nasty groin injury, as we've known George Kittle to be hurt. And I did not take any George Kittle shares this year because of this reason, but it's really looking that he's not playing this weekend here. Does this give you guys more confidence that Debo and Brandon Ayuk should have really great games on Sunday?
Ayuk to the moon for Week 1. Yeah, you know, there's reports that, you know, him and Lance have built a rapport. They're working out in the offseason before camp started. You know, and all the reports have been that Ayuk's been the standout receiver in camp. And Kittle not being there just gives him more opportunity to make plays and you know, have more of the balls thrown his way. So yeah, big on Brandon Ayuk in Week 1.
I love it always. In every direction, I'm glad Debo's a little bit healthy. And it just sucks. Like, we were drafting over the week and you're like, I thought you were going to take Kittle. And this is the reason why I don't really want Kittle. It's just, he's awesome, but he's also hurt. He blocks a lot. Like, he's just in, like, compromising positions. I hope he gets better. But, yeah, Ayuk's going to be pretty damn good. Maybe the definite DraftKings person you should put in your lineup. But, yeah, I'm interested to see that Bears-San Francisco game. We're going to get into it later, I'm sure.
Oh, hopefully. But, yeah, guys, just Obviously, if you have Kittle, look for another option. Right now, we might talk about some sleepers soon enough that you could probably go out there and maybe pick up. But Brandon Ayuk should be in for a pretty heavy target share. Both these guys should be in well in for at least 8 targets this game, as long as, you know, Trey Lance doesn't do anything stupid. So, yeah, so that's the news, guys, for today. Hopefully we don't have many of these bad things that we have to talk about in the fantasy news. So, all right, let's get over to the first topic of the day. Like I said, we're doing starts and sits, or sleepers and busts, I like to call them. And we'll start with the sleeper RBs here. Now, Bill, you're going to go first on this one. Who do you have as your first sleeper RB?
For me, I took a look at the, you know, the ECR consensus for week one, and seeing Miles Sanders as running back 29, you know, the guy's good to go for week one. He's up against the Lions. The Eagles ran all over the Lions last season. There's no reason why Sanders isn't a bell cow running back, at least to start the season, you know, whilst he's healthy. I just don't see a way that he's not at least an RB2, not a way that he's not at least RB24. And I'm expecting even higher than that, to be honest, against a Lions team that, you know, couldn't stop the run last year and haven't really done much to be able to stop the run. You know, they added Aiden Hutchinson, but that's a guy that wants to be getting after the passer more than he wants to be, you know, crashing inside and stopping the run.
Yeah, no, I know Jibs loves that pick there for sure. Definitely, I love Miles Sanders. I'm really hopeful. He did get a full practice in today, which is great news for him. Hopefully, he is ready to go and tear up the Lions defense here. Jibs, what do we have for your end?
Oh, that was one of mine's. You bastard. But I'm going to draft Etienne for sure. I was going to be a homer. But I wrote this earlier, and I kind of feel queasy, but because they're saying James Robinson might get a decent size workload, but either way, like, I'm still going to take the approach with, like, Chris Godwin and J.K. Dobbins. Like, this guy has come back for, like, a gruesome injury, and I think even with them saying the coach speak of him getting, like, all the work, I think Etienne will be very valuable in the receiving game. And even though they said all that, I think it'll be 50-50, and I think I'll love Etienne as a flex, and I'll even consider him to be a RB2 in a PPR league for me this week.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a weirdly potential shootout with the Commanders this coming week in Jacksonville. I mean, just because both teams' defenses are mediocre, personally, at best. So it could be a place where, you know, Trevor Lawrence wants to get off on the right foot and use, you know, Travis Etienne as a familiar face to get off to a hot start there in Jacksonville. So both good options so far, guys. My side here, or mine a little bit deeper, I went with guys that kind of like outside the top 40 or so, at least for these two. First one is I went with Kenneth Gainwell. And just kind of like what Bill said about Miles Sanders, I mean, the matchup just makes sense. And it could be late in game where Kenny Gainwell ends up seeing the bulk of the work because they don't want to overuse Miles Sanders early. Still, like, Miles Sanders is a good option as well, but Kenny Gainwell could end up seeing a lot of the fourth quarter work there and end up having a really good fantasy day as a nice flex option for you. And you just never know if Miles Sanders happens to tweak that hammy in the game and then gives Kenny Gainwell even more of an opportunity to produce in a very favorable matchup. So he's another guy, if you didn't go heavy RB, he went kind of zero RB approach, he could be a nice RB2 for you in that approach, or if you're looking for a flex option, he could end up having a really solid day. All right, Bill, back to you, my friend. You have another sleeper at the running back position for us.
Yeah, I've got another one. And we were speaking about J.K. Dobbins, you know, just a minute ago. And, you know, he's going to be in a pitch count, we expect, if he's healthy to go. Mike Davis is the guy that I think is likely to take a lot of the touches, especially the goal line work. You know, we know what he can do, you know, in short yardage situations. RB 46 against the Jets, like, if he's the guy that leads that backfield, there's no way he finishes as RB 46. So yeah, for me, Mike Davis, I think, if obviously just keep an eye on the Dobbins news, if Dobbins is ruled out, absolute smash. But even if Dobbins is healthy, you've got to wonder how much of the ball he's going to see, and if Mike Davis leads that backfield and obviously gets the short yardage and goal line work.
Damn you, Bill. That was mine. No, definitely. I love that one there a lot there. I mean, I feel like Mike Davis is, I mean, some of my leagues are kind of just on that top of the waiver wire, which you could probably pick up and end up having a good day, especially if J.K. Dobbins is out on Sunday. I mean, he knows the offense probably the best at this point and is actually healthy. So, I mean, 15 carries are not out of the question for him in week one in a favorable matchup. So I love Mike Davis there. Jibs, who do you got for us?
I'm just going to get one on the fly. I'll go with Rex Burkhead. I'm expecting the Colts to smash the Texans in typical fashion. So I'm definitely interested to see how the running back splits. So we know we all love Pierce as being that early downs runner, but I know Burkhead has been utilized in plenty of offenses as a nice little receiving back, and he's a nice north and south runner. So I think he could get some play, and maybe in a deep league, he could be a sleeper for you, but I wouldn't be going off the waiver wire and starting him over options that you already have on your roster. So that's my little deep sleeper for this weekend.
Yeah, no, I had him in actually one of my my new article, waivers to rostered, and he could end up having a pretty solid week one just as kind of a, you know, veteran pass protection, you know, pass catching kind of back there for sure. Since Mike Davis was my second one, I'm going to go with Mark Ingram here with New Orleans Saints versus Atlanta this week here. I feel like this is going to be a game where they kind of want to run the ball and kind of get in at, and get out real quick against this Falcons team in Atlanta here. And they were bottom 10 last year against defense running backs. And I don't think they want to overuse Alvin Kamara, especially early on in the season. I think they can use Mark Ingram to be that kind of in between the tackles guy, and him getting, you know, 60 yards and a touchdown, I don't think is out of the question for week one. So if you're looking for an RB, you might have barely just drafted him. He's definitely an option there. All right, so let's go over from some sleepers to busts. Bill, who do we have as your first bust at the RB position this week?
My first bust, Saquon Barkley. You know, the guy's been breaking fantasy football players' hearts for the last 2 years. He's up against the Tennessee Titans. I don't trust that New York Giants offense. I don't trust that New York Giants team. How long are they going to be able to run the football for before the Titans put up too many points and they got to start throwing the ball? And even if they are able to run, even if the game script doesn't completely rule out the running game, can I bank on Saquon Barkley to stay healthy? I need to see it. I need to see him stay healthy, and not only stay healthy, but, you know, garner more than 4 yards a carry and look like a shadow of his former self. And he's RB11, you know, for me. I just don't see an RB one week for Saquon Barkley. So I think he's going to be a week one bust.
Yeah, no, that's a big name, obviously. And it's definitely tough because the Titans were one of the best teams last year against fantasy running backs. So it could end up being a bad week. I mean, we're all expecting the volume to just be able to withstand everything, but it just might not be a great week for them. The Giants, I mean, it's a tough matchup. They don't really have a great wide receiver core. Daniel Jones is their quarterback. It could be in for a messy day there with the Giants. So, Jibs, who do you got as a bust?
This week, I'm going with Ezekiel Elliott. We're going to jump in that time machine, go back just to week one last year, and I think it's going to be the same results. We all know, like, this Tampa Bay's run defense, even with some subtractions, has been elite the last 2 years. My God, like, last year we saw Zeke just block basically the whole game and savage the touchdown for the most part. And I'm kind of worried about, even with the lack of receivers, I still think Tony Pollard's going to take kind of the receiving work from him as a running back. So, like, it's going to be one of those icky Zeke games where he has 50 yards and we're praying for a touchdown this week. I don't think he should be a top 24 running back this week. Yeah. But I'm starting him because I have to.
11 carries for 33 yards. I mean, that's why he's one of those dead zone running backs this year, guys. And this is a tough matchup. You don't know what the split is going to be like week one. Hopefully that helps us. Tony Pollard's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield, something that the Bucs did struggle in. So it might not be a great day for Zeke overall. So, all right, mine real quick. I want Damian Pierce. Everyone is loving Damian Pierce to death right now. And I want to pump the brakes a little bit on Damian Pierce right now. The Colts gave up the fifth fewest fantasy points per game to running backs last year. Their defense with some new faces is still a pretty, really strong defense. And I expect the Colts to start off pretty quick against this Houston defense here. And I don't know if Damian Pierce is going to get, you know, everyone's saying he's going to get the workload, but it's a bad team that it may not be in many situations to actually score touchdowns. And I think if they're having to throw the ball more, like Jim mentioned, one of his sleepers, Rex Burkhead, it could end up coming in as a veteran presence, better pass protector, and being able that receiving back there where Damian Pierce kind of gets left off on the sideline in week one here. I would not be surprised if Damian Williams goes, you know, 11 for 44 in week one, and then people are freaking out over how bad that was. So for me, I think Damian Pierce ends up having a really bad first week of the NFL.
Yeah. So Zeke was my second pick. I had another guy jotted down, and that's Devontae Williams. He's listed as RB15. Now he's got a good matchup. We expect a good matchup against the Seattle Seahawks, but I'm expecting a timeshare with Melvin Gordon. Is he going to get enough of a workload to have an RB15 week? I'm not so sure. It's Russ against his old team. Are they going to want to, you know, we've all heard let Russ cook, you know, when he was in Seattle. Are the Broncos going to want to rub salt into that wound and go, well, we're going to let Russ cook and show you what a real offensive coordinator and what a real offense can do with a quarterback like this on the team. I still expect Javonte Williams to be serviceable, but I feel like it could be a lower end RB2 as opposed to the high-end RB2 that he's listed at now.
Yeah, no, I do. That's an interesting one there for sure. And it makes a ton of sense that if Melvin Gordon really does get this heavy workload, it could end up not being the high-end RB2 that we expect Javonte Williams, that we draft him to be in the first week matchup here. So, and maybe they want to use Melvin Gordon to kind of keep Javonte Williams fresh and let him run out the fourth quarter. So I don't hate that one. So Jibs, what do we got for you? You're on mute, my friend.
Sorry, my dog's barking. But another poor situation. I just kind of want to get a wait-and-see approach. But another running back I'm kind of lower on would be Nick Chubb. Similar situation. They're going in to play on the road at Carolina. It's going to be Jacoby Brissett's first game. I just want to see how this Cleveland Browns team operates with Jacoby at the helm. Like, I know Nick Chubb, say, like, Vegas is over under has him at 70 yards, and I'm very skeptical of this Browns offense and how their ability of getting touchdowns. So if Nick Chubb doesn't get that touchdown, it's going to be a terrible game. So I think honestly they'll probably give him the most work too, so you shouldn't sit him, because I can see Chubb having 22 carries and grinding it out for like 100 total yards, but we need those touchdown guys. And I'm praying Nick Chubb could be salvageable the whole season. You don't have to wait till week 11 or week 12 when Watson returns, or week 13 and there'll be a lead offense. But just a little bit lower. The Panthers have a nice young linebacker core, but still just skeptical of the Browns. So that's just my opinion.
And I respect your opinion for sure, my friend. I'm not going to say more on that because I love Nick Chubb, so, but I respect it. My second option real quick as a bust for RB this week is Dave Montgomery. Tough matchup against a pretty strong front seven against the 49ers there. And Dave Montgomery has been kind of mediocre throughout his career. And last year when the Bears played the 49ers, he didn't play. He was injured. But Khalil Herbert, who was on a pretty good streak right there, had a really tough game, 23 carries for 72 yards. Could see that happen for Dave Montgomery week one. Plus, they also seems like they want to kind of get Herbert more involved in this offense here. So I don't know if that leads to, you know, Montgomery having less carries overall, which would make him even more least efficient for this offense here. So for me, I think I'd want to find a way to get past Dave Montgomery, even though you probably draft him as your RB2 in most leagues. So that's my other guy here. So let's head over to the next section here now, and let's go to sleepers at the wide receiver position. Bill, who do you have for sleepers at the wide receiver position?
So, interestingly enough, I've just finished my article for Fantasy and Frames for, you know, it's basically the same thing, you know, looking at sleepers, guys that are ranked outside the top 24. I dealt with a wide receiver. So I'm just going to give you the guys that I went for in that article. So a bit of a sneak peek before that's released. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, wide receiver 44. Nice. He's the burner in Kansas City. Now, we've seen what the burner in Kansas City can do when that man was Tyreek Hill. And I'm not comparing Marquez Valdes-Scantling to Tyreek Hill. But you've also got an Arizona secondary where there's questions. Now, I expect Isaiah Simmons or Budda Baker to be matched up on Travis Kelce. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm expecting Byron Murphy Jr. to be taking him. it leaves Marco Wilson as the outside corner I expect to be on MVS. We know Mahomes likes to get the ball down the field. We know he's more than capable of getting the ball down the field. They've got a great, pass defending O-line, pass protecting O-line. I just think Valdes-Scantling could have, you know, like one of them crazy Sammy Watkins week one games where he just finishes as like a top six receiver and everyone's like, well, is he on the waiver wire? Can I send a second round pick to go and get him? And then we might not hear much from him for the rest of the year. Yeah. But I just think this is a matchup that we could see MVS ball out a little bit.
Yeah. Love that one. He was one of my sleepers as well. It just makes so much sense in a potential shootout matchup against the Cardinals that MVS could end up having. Like, I think I wrote in my little notes, you end up a 50-yard touchdown bomb pretty easily in this game here. So I wouldn't be shocked by that. So I love that one. Jibs, who do you have as your sleeper wide receiver?
I had him too.
I have multiple options.
But yeah, my second one is Christian Kirk. I did like what I saw of the Jags offense this preseason, and even with the plethora amount of wide receivers they signed, I believe Christian Kirk will be the one who's going to have the better game in this week one matchup, because like he excelled as a slot receiver in Arizona. I know Marvin Jones, Zay Jones probably be outside. That's what I believe. And then Marvin Jones will probably end up going against Kendall Fuller, which is pretty elite cornerback, if you ask me, which leaves Christian Kirk probably with the lesser cornerback in the inside. So I think there's going to be some explosive plays. And like you said, Steve, we don't know how this game is going to go. It has a decent 44-point over-under, so there's respecting some scoring. So I'm expecting Kirk to get in the end zone as my sleeper this week.
Yeah, no, I love Kirk a lot this week. I'm definitely starting him if I have him on any of my fantasy rosters as a nice flex option this week. So I love that pick there a lot. My other sleeper that I had here was Nico Collins, guys. And I think Nico Collins is ready to have a nice mini breakout in 2022. And it starts here in Indy. Last year, by the end of the season, he was averaging just about 8 fantasy points per game down the stretch. And in a game where I'm expecting the Texans to kind of be behind in this game, that Nico Collins is going to see a decent workload in the passing game and could end up having a really good fantasy day overall. I think someone just on Twitter said that Nico Collins is going to be their wide receiver one by the end of the season. And I don't think it's the most outrageous thing I heard all day, to be honest. So I think Nico Collins could end up having a really solid first week one, and that we're going to be talking about him come Monday. So he is my first sleeper here at this one. So
love that pick.
Thank you. Thank you. Bill, back to you, my friend.
I'm putting my neck on the line here. Listed as wide receiver 57. By expert consensus ranking, Treylon Burks. Now we've heard some horrible things about him in training camp. Like, you know, it's gone from he's having asthma, he's running the wrong routes in preseason games. Robert Woods is clearly the wide receiver one there, according to reports. But I just look at the matchup. They're up against the Giants, who, like I said, I'm not a big fan of. I don't think they offer much on either side of the ball. I'm expecting Burks to line up in the slot. Okay. So that sees him matched with Darnay Holmes when they play their nickel corner. But how often are they going to be able to play a nickel corner when the primary goal is to stop Derrick Henry from running people over? So how often are they going to have to go heavy in the box, leaving Burks uncovered? Who's covering Treylon Burks? And what we know he can do from his time at Arkansas, we know he's not a Chris route runner. We know he's not like a Devontae Smith. He's a guy that get the ball in his hands and let him turn upfield and go and make plays. I'm not huge on Treylon Burks throughout the season. I wasn't huge on him coming out of the draft. But I think this could be a game where, again, it just could suit what we know he's good at. And, you know, I'm not expecting him to finish as a wide receiver one or even a wide receiver two. But I think if he, you know, is this as wide receiver 57, if he put up wide receiver three numbers in week one, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I like that one there a lot for sure. Definitely a good sleeper match for this coming week. Jibs.
I was going to go with Nick Westbrook because of all those bad reports about Burks, but
you could if you want to.
No, you can say the same things about that. The same. There's going to be a better matchup too. Like, but I have another one. I'm going to go AJ Green. Rondale Moore just injured his hamstring today. You know, there's no Hopkins. AJ Green is basically going to be him and Brown, like the old man and the youngster. All side by side in a high shootout game, 53 points for this KC Arizona game. So, shoot out in the desert. So, I love me some AJ Green. Like, he's old, he's reliable. We've seen him have like 80 yards, 100 yard games last year when there was some, I think when Hopkins was hurt or so, but just kick the dirt off, guys. He's everywhere. He's free, baby. Go get him.
He sure is. Ah, man. I'm so mad. I really wanted AJ Green too. This is a tough one now. I mean, there's some other options here. I wouldn't be surprised if Randall Cobb ends up having a good first week of the season. Alan Lazard is injured currently right now. So I would leave Randall Cobb to be Aaron Rodgers' most trusted wide receiver. It's a game against the Vikings, which I expected to be somewhat of a high-scoring game here. I would assume Aaron Rodgers is going to look Randall Cobb's way more often than not in week one, at least, especially if Alan Lazard is out. And he could end up having a pretty good fantasy where he finishes a top 36 wide receiver in fantasy, which would be crazy. But that's the world we live in, where Randall Cobb has come back to life and Aaron Rodgers is his most trusted player that he loves. So for me, I guess my second one is going to be Randall Cobb now here. So I'm going to leave it at that here. So, all right. Before we get started on our next one, I got to get a word in from our sponsor here, our brand new sponsor we just signed with in the last few days here. If I can pull up my share screen here, No House Advantage fantasy app here. If you're looking at it now on my screen, it is downloadable on the App Store, the Play Store, whatever store you have. You can even go online. And, you know, No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sport platform available today. You play in the Pick'em contest versus other people for a shot at winning $250,000 cash, guys. Download the app, you choose a contest, you pick some player props, you earn points for the correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot at the big money every day. You can also test your skills against the house and win 20 times your entry when you hit all your picks. You can bet up to 5 player props, over-unders, or individual player matchups across every major sport, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up today, guys. Help us out with the promo code COACHES at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app at the App Store to get your first deposit match up to $25, guys. Make sure you check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy redefined, because it's not just how you play, but it's where you play. You don't want to miss out on this great offer, guys. I downloaded it. It's fantastic. It's been fun to play so far. Help us out. Help them out. Help our new sponsor. Download it today, guys. Use the promo code COACHES, and we would appreciate it, guys. All right. So back to what we were talking about here now, guys. We're back to some sleeper. No, now we're done with the sleepers now. Talked about some wide receiver busts. If I bring my thing back, there we go. All right, Bill. What do you have as your first wide receiver bust today?
Okay, look, I've got two guys who's they're both supposed to be top six finishes for week one.
Okay.
I'm going to start with CeeDee Lamb. You know, ECR number six, meant to be, you know, top half of wide receiver ones. With Michael Gallup's injury, we've obviously Amari Cooper being out of town. The Bucks are just going to, they're going to look at CeeDee Lamb and say, we take him away. Let's take CeeDee away and then see what they can do. Is there going to be enough? Is he going to get enough chances? Is he going to get enough passes his way? Is he going to get enough opportunity to finish as the wide receiver six in week one against a good Bucks defense? I'm not so sure. Now, I don't expect him to have a bottom wide receiver two finish. Like, I'm not expecting him to finish as wide receiver 20 or anything like that. But, you know, this guy's meant to finish in the top half of wide receivers. Not for me. I think the Bucks are going to target him, take him away, force Dak to look elsewhere. I'm expecting a big Tony Pollard game. You know, the reports of him going to be running the slot. I just don't think CD gets enough opportunity to carve out a wide receiver six finishing week one.
I like that a lot there, honestly. I feel like with the way this offense is looking right now, CD Lamb might not be able to have that elite week one presence and could end up being a down week. I like that, Bill, a lot there. Jibs, what do you got for me, man?
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore? Oh, why DJ Moore?
Oh, because I know, like, he's a target hog. He's going to be a target hog for Baker Mayfield, but I still think they lack polished receivers on the outside. You know, they got, like, a queue with Robbie Anderson, don't want him to play, basically, with Baker Mayfield. So that kind of leaves, like, Terrace Marshall you know, Robbie will play, and Christian McCaffrey, of course. But I'm just kind of worried about Baker Mayfield facing his old team, that elite defensive line, ready to tee up on him. They're going to get a lot of pressure on him. And I think that's going to and then, of course, DJ Moore has, like, a tough matchup. He's probably going to get faced outside with Denzel Ward. So I think that's a disadvantage, not an advantageous matchup. I think he should be ranked a little bit more. And, like, obviously in PPR leagues, you'll love him. But, like, in half and non-PPR, I think he may be a guy who'll disappoint this week.
I don't like it, Jibs. I hope you're wrong.
No, I have a lot of DJ Moore, so, like, I hope I'm wrong, too. But, like, I can see it.
I hope you're wrong, so, but I get your point, though. All right, my first bus guy is real quick, Jerry Jeudy. And again, I could be wrong about this one, too, just like the DJ Moore one for Jibs. But, you know, DJ Moore, everyone's expecting him to blow up with Russell Wilson. And I feel like if the Broncos get ahead in this game, they might not need to force the run or the pass that often. So Jerry Jeudy might not be able to get that high target share early on in week one here. He's been used minimal in the red zone over his career, and Seattle's done well against wide receivers, especially when it comes to touchdowns. And Cortland Sutton is being talked up as the guy for this team here. I think he's sitting at right now wide receiver 28. I think it could end up being a little bit more down than we want to hope this week in week one. So for me, Jerry Jeudy is a guy who I'm not 100% sold on for week one. Bill, my friend, what do you got for us for the second one?
All right, look, all right. I'm going to get some hate for this. Please don't kick me off the podcast before I finish my point, okay? Devontae Adams. Now, listed as wide receiver 4 for the week, he's coming up against the Brandon Staley defense in the Los Angeles Chargers. I think Staley's one of the better defensive-minded coaches in the league. And I love the talent on the defensive side of the ball for the Chargers. Now, what I don't love is that Raiders offensive line. You've got Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. How much time is Derek Carr going to have to get that ball out? How much time is he going to have to get that ball out downfield? I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders' game plan was, you know, Josh McDaniels has come from the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots like to run the ball. Josh McDaniels likes to run the ball. Run the ball, take time off the clock. Don't give Justin Herbert the ball. Don't give him time. Have him sitting on the sides. That's the best way to beat the Chargers. Keep Justin Herbert on the sideline. You know, I'm expecting a lot of Josh Jacobs, a lot of Hunter Renfrow in the slot. You've got Darren Waller outside. I just think it's a combination of the Raiders not wanting to establish the run and keep Justin Herbert on the sideline. I think it's Brandon Staley saying we're going to take Devontae Adams away. It's also a wide receiver that's, you know, close to 30 years of age, playing on a new team with it. I know they played together at Fresno State, but it's a new quarterback in the NFL. He's been with Aaron Rodgers for a long time. And no matter what Devontae Adams says, there is a bit of a drop-off between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Devontae Adams is worthless and bench him. Obviously, if you've got him, you start him. But I'm just saying, maybe not expect a top 4 finish in week one for Devontae Adams.
I can't disagree with that. I think there's potential for Devontae Adams to not struggle, but not see the target share that we want him to see. You know, everyone's, you know, fixating that Carr and him are just going to click and it's going to be like Rodgers, but it might not be. And in a tough matchup, the Chargers gave up the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. Could be a tough matchup on the outside there. So I wouldn't be that surprised if Adams has a bad week. So Jibs, second bus of the day. Who you got?
Going to the top. Not really a bus. Just lower some of your expectations. Justin Jefferson. We all imagine him to be this Cooper Kupp deity this year. He moved up the draft boards in August. He was like the mid first round pick. Seen him go in drafts top 3. So the Green Bay Packers have an elite defense this year, like in totality. And it starts with that man, Jaire Alexander. So Justin Jefferson, I'm not expecting him to have like a blow up, like 25 point game like Kupp did last year in week one. But if the guy gets 17 or fewer than that, like I'm not going to be really expecting it because Jaire is a good player. So I'm just going to be lowering my expectations. I'm not expecting a blow up game from Justin Jefferson, but I don't think he's going to be the number one wide receiver this week either.
I see you taking the easier route. Going with the number one guy in wide receivers can't be number one. It's got to be number two at least, guys.
Nah. All right. Then I don't think he finishes the top five this week. There you go.
Okay.
Or we evaluate next week.
Okay. I mean, that's a hot play right there. I like it. All right.
Yeah, wait till Nico Collins is wide receiver one this week.
Sign me up, Fantasy Pros. Any website, ESPN. I know what I'm talking about then. All right. My second bust of the week here, guys, is Rashad Bateman. Now, everyone loves Rashad Bateman as a big breakout candidate this week, and it's potentially there. I'm not a big Bateman guy, but the Jets were pretty solid against wide receivers last year, and they made an upgrade getting Sauce Gardner this offseason, the number one draft pick, and he's a really good cornerback here. And the way that this Ravens team goes, it might not be enough targets that Bateman sees on the outside there, and it really depends on what position of the field he's going to be playing in a lot of times, and we'll find out really early in this game here. But it could be a very run-heavy game, and if Lamar Jackson only throws the ball 20 times, I could see that happening very well against this Jets team here. And so I think Bateman, while there's breakout potential for his season, week one might come off to a very minimal-sized game here. So I think I personally would look at another option instead of targeting Rashad Bateman this week. It sounds like a good matchup because it's the Jets, but the Jets do have a good cornerback staff there, and I would just beware of starting Rashad Bateman this week. All right. A friend of ours, Matt Monty, trash the Jets. Blowout lock. All right. I like it there, Mr. Matthew. All right. Okay, let's see. What are we going over to next? Oh, yes. We're going over to sleeper tight ends here. So, Bill, who do you have as a sleeper tight end?
I'm going with Asai Likely. I'm expecting him to be the tight end 2 in Baltimore, listed as tight end 36. Now, what's tight end 36 going to get? 2 points?
Yeah.
Basically. This is a guy, we know the Ravens, if they could line up a whole offense of tight ends, they probably would. Asai, like, all he's got to do is catch a touchdown, and he's going to beat that tight end 36 ranking. Now, again, New York Jets, not a great team. You know, like you said, Bateman on Sauce Gardner. After Sauce Gardner, what's there? Now, the issue is obviously Mark Andrews. If all the targets to the tight end get filtered to Mark Andrews and Asai Likely doesn't see as much of the field as I'm expecting, then maybe not. But what if they're blowing the Jets out and they bring Asai Likely in and he takes all of Mark Andrews' snaps in the fourth quarter? I think he's an upside play. It depends on what your tight end room looks like on your fantasy roster. But if you're struggling... If you're struggling at that position, you're looking at your tight ends and you're not liking it, I think Asai Likely could be a sneaky upside play. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't finish above that tight end 36 current ECR.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely. I like that one there. I mean, it could be if you went Hayden Hurst as your tight end one. You went really late and just went Hayden Hurst, or maybe, I don't know, Adam Trotman or something like that. I would want to
probably CJ Uzoma.
CJ Uzoma, yeah. I would want to start Isaiah Likely because there's upside there. I mean, we'll see how involved he is, but there's upside there for sure. Jibs, who do you have as your sleeper tight end this week?
I'm going to go with David Njoku and Jacoby Brissett. He's awful. It's terrible. I don't think he's going to be taking that many chances downfield to like Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think Cooper's going to be a nice perimeter target for him, but David Njoku is going to be playing right in front of that line. Easy, gimme tight end for Jacoby Brissett's passing, because we've seen it in the Colts. He utilizes tight ends. Like, everywhere he goes, he likes the tight ends. So I think David Njoku could be a player that could be substituted for a player like Zach Ertz because he's questionable, or because he's available in a lot of leagues, and at least in all my leagues, he's like on the waiver wire. So I do like his prospects of being definitely, I think he's probably like tight end 15 or 16 this week. So I think he could get top 12.
Yeah, no, like he'd actually be tight end 14 currently.
14? All right, top 10, baby. Got heated up in here.
No, I definitely like that one there a lot. I really hope he really balls out this first week here against the Panthers. So my sleeper tight end is Mo Alie-Cox from the Indianapolis Colts, guys. So Mo Alie-Cox, if you're looking for a tight end, you're struggling to figure out who you want to start. It's a good matchup against the Texans here this coming week. And Matt Ryan has been pretty good with tight ends throughout his entire career here. And Mo Alie-Cox now is the deemed starter. No more Jack Doyle or anything like that. You know, they have rookies and young players behind him in the tight end position. Marley Cox is likely going to see the field for most of the game this week. And if he can get like 30 yards and a touchdown, which I think it's capable for him in this matchup here, it's pretty self-explanatory. He has a sleeper potential this week. And the Texans were like bottom 10 last year against tight ends overall. So Marley Cox is definitely someone you could pick up and probably get you at least 8 or 9 fantasy points in week one. So yeah, that's who I'm going
with. Guy. That was my second guy. I listed another guy, and I don't really know why. It's more of a feeling than anything else. And that's Albert Owokabunam, Albert O, Denver Broncos. Now, I know there's, you know, we're not sure if he's 100% healthy. There's obviously Jerry Jeudy, there's Courtland Sutton, there's Javonte Williams. All of these guys can catch passes. But like I said with Cy Likely, what does it take to be a top 12 tight end? A few receptions. I say a few, more than a few receptions, but touchdown upside.
30 yards.
Yeah. So if you score 2 touchdowns as a tight end, you're probably going to finish as a top 12 tight end that week.
Probably top 5.
Yeah,
12 top 5 right there.
I've just got a feeling that Owokabunam is going to have the kind of game where they get to the goal line. They don't want to run the ball. They want Russ to throw touchdowns against the Seahawks. They want him to post up 5 touchdowns, destroyed the Seahawks. Everything's all good in Broncos country. Let's ride all that jazz. It just wouldn't surprise me if Owokabunam caught 1 or 2 touchdowns, didn't really do much else in the game. Everyone tries to buy him in fantasy, and then he doesn't do anything for the rest of the year. Now, there's nothing much that I'm going on that. It's just a feeling, just something I'm expecting. I'm starting him where I've got him, and I'm hoping that happens, and I'm selling him straight away. he's listed as tight end 15. It wouldn't surprise me if he creeped in and was a tight end 1 in week 1.
I like it there a lot. I do like that one a lot. Hopefully he does pan out here. But let's go over to some busts, tight end busts now this week. Someone that we're fading kind of at the tight end position here. Bill, you gave us, who do you got for a tight end bust this week?
I got Kyle Pitts.
Ooh, Kyle Pitts, man, why?
Kyle Pitts. He's listed as tight end 3. He's up against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints got a sneaky good defense. They've got a good defensive head coach. What else is there in Atlanta that they're worried about? Rookie Drake London, not sure if he's 100% healthy. Cordarrelle Patterson's 32 or whatever he is. You know, he's still a stud, but what is he? Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? Is he a punt returner? Is he a kick returner? Like, I just think the Saints will go, well, let's just take away the unicorn tight end as best we can, and then we'll just see what they do. Then we just see, you know, is it Patterson? Is it Drake London? Is it? There's not much there. And when there's not much there, and the best option is the tight end, and I don't have much faith in your quarterback, I just think it's too easy for the Saints to take him away and say, right, now score. You can score against us, but he can't. We'll take him away. Now show us what you've got. And the guy listed as tight end 3 in a matchup that I don't like, I'm fading Kyle Pitts this week.
Okay. I respect it for sure. Coach Gibbs, what do we got for your tight end bust, my friend?
Cole Kmet.
I get it.
Yeah, enough.
I get it.
All right, actually, basically, my tight end bust is everyone not named Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. So, but Cole Kmet, like, I'm going to get into this later too, but I'm also down on Justin Fields this week. So I think the Bears are just going to have a tough time, even at home, with that. Yeah, I should just stay with Cole Kmet, but San Francisco's elite tight end defense. So even in like half and non-PPR leagues, I'll kind of want to fade Kmet because I don't even think like he'll be able to get a touchdown. Like he'll have like an MP's stat line. But in PPR leagues, I think he could muster 10 points. But like I just find it hard that he's going to be able to get it going against this elite defense in San Francisco.
All right. I mean, I'm a big Kmet believer, but it is a tough matchup. So I'll give you that for sure. So,
yeah, I see the game just getting ran out by Mitchell, Lance, Fields, et cetera.
Yeah, that is 100% true. All right. So for my tight end bust, guys, there's really no one at the top that I like can say, all right, you're a bust for sure, because there's some injury player guys. But if you drafted Mike Gesicki, As you're starting tight end, you might want to look a different direction. Mike Gesicki has never gotten more than 40 yards in a game against the New England Patriots. And that about 2, 4, 6, 1, 2, 3, you know, 9 games over his career against the New England Patriots. He has 100 combined yards against them in 9 games. Not a great thing. So if you did draft Mike Gesicki to be your tight end one, maybe you drafted him late, I'd look a different direction 100% because I don't expect him to be able to do more than what we've seen already out of this. I mean, 34 yards is career high. It's not a great thing, guys. All right. So let's get over to the quarterbacks now, guys. We're finishing up here. Quarterbacks, sleeper QB for week one here, Bill. Who do you got?
Trevor Lawrence. He's listed as QB 18 against Washington. I don't, there's nothing in that Washington defense that, you know, yeah, they've got a pretty good defensive line. There's not going to be Chase Young on that line getting after him. I think there's massive improvements in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to finish as a top 12 quarterback in week one against Washington Commanders.
I love that one there for sure. I think he will surprise a lot of people early, right out of the gates in week one. I love that. Jibs, who you got?
That was mine, but you know what I'm going to say? Like, I'm just going to go off. This is what I believe, and hopefully it comes true. So I'm going to go Carson Wentz. He lost his job, right? Because of Jacksonville Jaguars. He lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now he gets to play them in week one. I think he's going to go scorch earth, give Jahan Jackson long touchdown pass, Terry McLaurin the good sauce. And then, obviously, Antonio Gibson probably will get his share too. But all fairness aside, I just think like he'll probably want to put the haters aside and probably start the season out on a good foot. So I think Carson Wentz could be a sleeper quarterback, a guy who's probably not even top 20. Maybe top 24 in the rankings. So I could see him being a mid QB2 this week.
Like, oh, you stole mine, man. Killing each other's picks here.
Sorry, bro.
Man, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, I mean, I love Carson Wentz a lot. I think it just makes sense. This matchup between both these quarterbacks are going to be really good for fantasy if you're looking for a sleeper potential. Both these guys fit that bill there.
Go with the chalk.
I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield as my sleeper quarterback. He's playing his former team week one. The man's got some swagger. He needs to show off the show. Hey, you should have gave me that $200 million contract. Baker has a great weapon core around him. I don't see why he can't produce week one with McCaffrey, DJ Moore, some other people that are there. If you're looking for a Hail Mary throw, give me Baker Mayfield this week. I bet he'll surprise more people than you think.
I had him listed down here. QB 25, he beats that. He finishes as a high to mid-end QB 2, I think. I think he torches Cleveland this week.
He finishes QB 24, I'll be happy. All right, here. So let's go to quarterback busts, guys. Who do you have as a QB bust this week?
I've got Kyler Murray. Listed as a QB 6 against the Chiefs. I'm big on the Chiefs defense. I think they're improved. Obviously, we know Chris Jones, you know, pass rushing up the middle. I really like George Karloftis. He's my pick for defensive rookie of the year. I think he's going to get after it. You know, the guys can get to the passer any which way you like. And there's no DeAndre Hopkins. There's no Nook. I don't know. Not for me. He's not for me. I mean, I'm not the biggest Kyler Murray fan anyway. People will call me a hater, but he's just not for me. I think the Kansas City pass rush gets after him. I just think he looks around. There's no Nook there. There's no safety blanket. Yeah, not as a. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished outside the top 12 quarterbacks this week. I think that Kansas City defense is real.
I mean, you know, maybe no Zach Ertz, maybe no Rondell Moore. It could be even scarier. So yeah, haven't thought of it that way, but. I mean, questioning things now, Bill. But yeah, that could be a major bust this week in fantasy for week one. I respect it. Coach Jibs, who you got?
I mentioned before, Justin Fields. This Bears offensive line is god horrific. It's just so horrific. And I just see him being under their stress the whole game with that elite front seven in San Francisco. Like, I know he looked good in preseason games. Some of it was in backups. Maybe had a little bit of starters in there. But it's going to be the real starters in San Francisco, good starters. Like, I know Justin Fields is going to provide some rushing, but I just find it hard the guy's going to get two plus passing touchdowns. Like, I think, like, if he gets two touchdowns, there's like 8 points and then 200 yards, I think he's just going to have a mediocre day. I'll probably call it under 18 fantasy points.
All right.
And a 4 point. Oh, no, no. Yeah, I guess 18 will be right. He went 20.
And unless he's going to pull off a Jalen Hurts week one with the rushing upside, it could be a really tough day for Fields for sure. So I definitely don't hate that one. My guy is Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, we talked about him, I think this time last year, as a bust potential, and then he goes off for 400 yards and three touchdowns against the same opponent he had last time at this year. But this team's much different than what the team we had last year. For first, he doesn't have two of his starting three wide receivers that he had last year. The O-line looks completely different with free agency and injuries. I don't know if 400 yards and three touchdowns is in for Dak this coming week one. And again, a tough defense still. The Bucs are still a tough defense overall. And I'd be slightly concerned with the weapons he has around him that he doesn't have actually around him, that he ends up having a really bad fantasy day. So for me, I think Dak ends up being very mediocre. Like, if he has 200 yards and a touchdown and maybe a pick or two, I could see that happening, which would be really sucky. But yeah, definitely don't like that there for week one for Dak Prescott. So, all right, we got 3 minutes here. We're going to go through some rapid fire players here, guys. I'm going to just name some guys that are kind of near each other. You tell me this player or that player, Rashad Bateman or Darryl Mooney?
Bateman, better matchup.
I'm going Bateman.
Bateman. Let's see, Brandon Cooks or Deontay Johnson?
Cooks.
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson. Drake London or Kadarius Toney?
Drake London.
Going with the Toney special.
I'm going to go with London on this one. Brandon Ayuk or Christian Kirk?
Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, without hesitation, Kirk. I love it. If Kittle doesn't play Ayuk, if Kittle does play, then Kirk. Let's see here. Let's look at a couple more wide receivers. Cortland Sutton or Mike Williams?
Sutton. Just.
Both of them.
Yeah, you could start both of them, but definitely Sutton.
Sutton, yeah, Monday night special, baby.
I love it. All right, so let's talk about some wide receivers here. Travis Etienne or Travis Etienne or Elijah Mitchell?
Etienne.
Travis Etienne.
Mitchell for me. Rashad Penny or Chase Edmund?
Chase Edmonds.
Patriots suck as well.
Chase Edmonds, I'll take that. Let's see, Damian Pierce or Rashad Penny?
Rashad Penny.
Penny.
Penny, yeah.
Penny. All right. Damian Pierce or Breece Hall?
Pierce.
Yeah, Pierce.
Yeah, I think I'd go Pierce there kind of too. Melvin Gordon or Naeem Hines?
Gordon.
I'm going to go Gordon.
Go Hines on this one. Let's see here. Leonard Fournette or Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
A. Jones this week.
Yeah, Aaron Jones for sure. Still got a couple tight ends here. Pat Freiermuth or Cole Kmet?
Freiermuth.
Yeah, Freiermuth.
Yeah, Freiermuth is fine. I'm okay with that. Gerald Everett or Irv Smith Jr.?
I want to go with Everett.
Yeah, yeah, so do I.
Everett. Austin Hooper or Evan Ingram?
Oh, God. Austin Hooper.
Hooper. Hooper for sure. And then let's look at a couple quarterbacks here randomly. Jameis Winston or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan,
yeah. Let's see, Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Carr.
I'll say Carr too.
All right. Let's see, Trey Lance or Aaron Rodgers?
Trey Lance.
Give me that Russian baby.
I'm gonna go Rodgers still. I don't know if I want to trust the kid week one. Let's do one more quick one. Joe Burrow or Trey Lance?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance from Matt Stafford.
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So that is what we're going to go here with, guys. We hit the hour mark, so we're going to wrap things up. Yeah, I love the rapid fire. I'm glad we got that off perfect. I love it. All right, Bill, man, we appreciate you jumping on, brother. It was so much fun having you on talking fantasy today. If there's anything you want to say, the floor is yours, my friend.
Just, you know, on Twitter, at Bill_Mustafa, most of my work is on fantasy and frames, at Football Betting Advice, FBA, on Twitter, and I'll be heading up Rogue Bets. That's coming soon. So, yeah, just follow on Twitter, and you'll find all the bits and pieces.
Awesome, awesome. Love it. So give him a follow, guys. Check his stuff out. We'd appreciate it. Jibs, anything to say?
Set your lineups. Get your Thursday players out of your flex. Yada, yada, yada. Let's go football. Let's go week one. And good luck on your route to your fantasy championships.
Always great advice, of course. And
guys, follow our sponsor.
Follow our sponsor, yes. Check them out, please. Promo code COACHES. We'd appreciate it. We'd love to get them for the whole season, so please help us out. So, again, guys, go visit our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. You can check all of our articles, rankings, podcasts. The Dynasty Coaches are on there. We're going to have a lot of things going this season. We'll have something posted just about every single day, whether it's a podcast or an article. So check it out. We'll be posting our in-season schedule at some point on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy. Again, check out our sponsor, No House Advantage, promo code COACHES. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Monday after this whole crazy mayhem. Till then, guys, take care and have a good one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kent. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Shh, like boom, running like Zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, yo.